You know, you would have expected our Lord to say, well, you know, the reason I teach in parables is because, you know, the kingdom of God is a very exalted thing. It's something supernatural. It's something divine, the kingdom of heaven. This is not something that you can just readily understand. So I'm putting it in human concepts. So it's you know, using things that people are familiar with so they'll get it. You would have expected something like that, right? But instead, he's talking about how it's deliberately to confound them. It's deliberately to mask the reality. It's deliberately to conceal it. So what gives? Is our Lord here deliberately teaching in an incomprehensible way? Is he saying, well, you know, I don't want you people to be converted and live, so I'll just say things that are utterly incomprehensible. Ha ha. I'll answer that in a bit. Let's move right on. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So now he's going to explain it to them. Now they get the inside track. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, there cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. Now let me explain something about this parable before I move on, because what I'm going to do is sort of answer the questions that I bring up as I go. I asked you, didn't that seem counterintuitive? Why is it that our Lord is saying this parable? I teach in parables so that they won't understand, so that they won't be converted, so that they won't see. So we get an insight here. When anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, there cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. So there is a certain condition on the part of the hearer, a subjective condition on the part of the hearer. Isaiah was sent to preach to people who were bad-willed. They were wicked. God still sent him to preach, but they didn't understand. And therefore, the words that fell upon those hearers were like seeds that fell upon a stony ground, or rather by the wayside. Now, when we say by the wayside, what does that mean? Well, the wayside was soil. It was dirt, just like the rest of the ground. But it's the wayside because that's where the farmers walked. That's where people walked. It was all packed hard. It was a hard ground that the seed couldn't take root in. Plus, it probably wasn't fertilized and all that stuff, like the part of the field that was intended for planting. And he that received the seed upon stony ground is he that heareth the word and immediately receive it with joy. Yet hath he not root in himself, but is only for a time. And when there ariseth tribulation and persecution because of the word, he is presently scandalized. So now you've got a second category of person who heard it, he understood it, he rejoiced, but then as soon as things got difficult, you know, the stoniness of the ground, he withered away and he was scandalized. Well, why was he scandalized? Well, because this whole Christianity thing is difficult, huh? Doing the will of God is difficult. Keeping God's law is difficult. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and we are talking about the kingdom of God is like, which is a little bit about parables tonight. I apologize for my voice. I'm speaking of herbs earlier as I was. I'm taking some herbal tea now that the sisters graciously made for me. So hopefully my voice will at least not get worse as we continue along. Continuing in verse 20 from Matthew 13, and he that receiveth the seed among thorns, okay, so this is the worst condition, right? Is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choketh up the word, and he becometh fruitless. So imagine a plant, you know, wheat, whatever, barley, whatever the crop is. Our Lord doesn't distinguish what kind of crop he's talking about planting. And it grows up, but the thorns are growing along with it, right? And it gets choked. It gets, you know, the thorns are crowding it out of the sunlight and perhaps ripping it apart because of the effect of the thorns pressing against the tenderness of the shoot of the crop. So it becomes fruitless. Okay, so the thorns are like the deceitfulness of riches. It's like worldliness. Okay, this is one of the things that can drive us away from the religion, is worldliness. We know that the world, the flesh, and the devil are the three sources of temptation. Okay, so, by the way, that's perhaps one way of looking at this parable, is that we see these three things here. The wicked one cometh, right, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's the devil. So we got the devil. Then we've got the flesh, the stony ground. He that heareth and receiveth with joy, yet he hath not root in himself, but only for a time. And then there ariseth tribulation. Well, that's the flesh. And then lastly, we have the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, that's the world. Okay, so continuing with verse 23, but he that received the seed upon good ground is he that receiveth the word and understandeth and beareth fruit and yieldeth the one 100-fold and another 60 and another 30. Okay, so that's the end of that parable. Now he's going to go into another parable. So let's just finish a couple of thoughts on that parable. One is this. So notice, by the way, when he gets to the end, he talks about a fourth category, right? The good ground. But the fourth category suddenly becomes three distinct categories in itself. He that receiveth seed upon good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth and beareth fruit and yieldeth the 100, another 60, and another 30-fold. So you've got... Now, all of a sudden, this fourth category becomes three distinct categories, and it's distinct by merit. They're distinguished by merit. So, one receives the good word in his or the word in his in good soul, good soil, and merits 100-fold, the other 60-fold, the other 30-fold. So you get a different gradation of sanctity, right? You get different gradations of sanctity among the saints. This, by the way, this comports with the Catholic doctrine that there are different degrees of merit among the just on earth, corresponding to different degrees of reward in the kingdom of heaven. So that, contrary to what the Protestants teach, who say that there is a radical equality of the saints, and all the blessed in heaven have the same enjoyment, the same fruition of beatitude. The contrary is true. Okay, there's a distinction in reward. Just as there's a distinction in merit on earth, there is a distinction in reward in heaven. In my Father's house there are many mansions, our Lord said. Okay, So there we get something about the nature of parables. So let me tie in why I brought in that whole excursus at the beginning with the Bacchae. Because the severed head of Pentheus is, in a way, as sick as the comparison is, in a way, it's sort of like a parable. In the mind of his drunken mother, who's beholding this head, when agave is drunk, when she's sinful, when she's under the Dionysian spell, she doesn't see reality for what it is, right? She looks at the same thing and that she sees later with more clarity, and she says, oh, it's a lion's head. It's a trophy for the palace. Then when she has been by her father, sort of guided into a better way of seeing things, and the effect of the alcohol has worn off, then she sees reality for what it is, and she says that she sees horror, and she acknowledges that Dionysios has destroyed us. So it's a question of perspective. It's a question of literally the subjective outlook of the beholder on the object being beheld. The parable is the same. The same parable is being heard by a multitude of people. And this parable itself is paradigmatic of parables. It tells us, it's a parable that teaches us about parables. because it tells us how to understand and how parables have different effects on different people. Now, our Lord's talking about the kingdom of heaven, which, of course, is the Catholic Church, and the teachings thereof, which is, of course, the subject matter of our faith. You might call it the gospel. You might call it divine revelation. But the parable itself is showing us how different people receive the parables. Some will hear the same truth, and it will be on hard ground, or it'll be on the wayside. Some will be on hard or stony ground. Others, it'll grow up a little bit, but then it'll be choked out by thorns. And still others, it fell on good ground, and among that last category, the good ground will be good ground, better ground, and best ground, right? So this is how parables work. And the same parable heard by a multitude of people can have all sorts of different effects. So just as God sent Isaiah out to preach to the unbelieving Jews, to the hard-hearted Jews of his own day, and he says, basically, harden their hearts. He actually uses that expression.